Welcome to Ghost Writers Anonymous, an inspirational and interactive podcast where we create worlds through words and writing. I'm Kelsey, and today I'd like to know, if you were a high school mascot, what high school mascot would you be? I would be the Hissing Cats. In our Black Knight episode, I had shared an excerpt from the classic novel Ivanhoe, and the reason I was propelled to read that was from a Wishbone version of Ivanhoe. I loved it so much, which then made me curious to compare Ivanhoe to Robin Hood, because Ivanhoe was the forerunner, and from there, a side adventure was created focused on Robert of Locksley, who is Robin Hood. In that side pursuit, a lot of Ivanhoe's characteristics were funneled into Robin Hood. And so I thought, since I had already dabbled in the Wishbone Ivanhoe version, I'd cross-reference it with The Adventures of Robin Hood, Wishbone Classics, retold by Joanne Mattern, and see which protagonists I liked more. Soundly, I prefer Ivanhoe, and the reason for that is because I feel like his moral compass never wavered, or at least in the Wishbone version. I have yet to have read the Ivanhoe classic in full. I plan to, and I will, I just keep reading other things ahead of it, and so it keeps getting pushed back and pushed back, but I think the main difference is Robin Hood is more of a prankster. He does have a moral compass, but I think he allows it to be skewed a little more than Ivanhoe's. It's just a little off kilter. In this Wishbone version, what they're doing are just taking highlight scenes and sewing them into a book that would appeal to a kid. And I really like that, especially because I read Wishbone as a kid. Not this one. In fact, my brother had this book, but I don't think I read it. And so Robin Hood is an outlaw, and the whole reason he became an outlaw is because he killed a knight. And the reason he did that is because that knight had proposed to Maid Marian, she refused, and so he planned to ambush her and her company in the forest while she was going from her father's house to her uncle's castle, and basically run away with her and make her be his wife. Robin Hood knew that she was going to be traveling that day, and so he just so happened to see this ambush unfold. He let fly an arrow, and it hit Sir Rogers, that's the knight, in his visor, and he slumped from his horse dead. Well, slaying a knight can't go unpunished, and so Robin Hood, who I understand to be a lord if I'm remembering this correctly, was cast into the life of an outlaw. His land and his home were taken from him and given to another lord. And since Robin Hood was a good lord, he had a following, and so those people, instead of working under this new lord, they followed him into the forest, and that was his band of merry men. And from there, he'll pick up other merry men in situations where they earn valor in a contest of sorts, or a test of strength. And sometimes Robin Hood forces them into situations for his own entertainment. And I'm going to read an excerpt where he does this. And throughout the book, Robin Hood is putting himself in a scenario where, as a reader, I stop and think, I feel like he's in the wrong doing this. And this scene is one of those cases. There's really not much buildup for it. He and four of his merry men, one of them being Little John, come upon a miller who is out on the road by himself carrying a huge sack of flour. Little John was singing a merry country song when Robin Hood suddenly interrupted him. "Who is that fellow coming along the road?" he asked. "I don't know," Little John said grumpily, "but I do know it is an ill thing to stop a good song." "Don't be angry, Little John," Robin said. "I have been watching this man come along, carrying a huge bag over his shoulder, since you began your song, and I am curious to know who he is." Little John peered up the road. "I have seen the man before," he said. "I think he is a miller from beyond Nottingham." And here Wishbone chimes in. "A miller is a man who grinds flour so people can use it to make bread. Thank you, Wishbone, coming in clutch." "You're right," Robin said. "I saw him defeat Ned O'Bradford in a quarterstaff about 2 weeks ago, and never have I seen a finer piece of fighting." By this time, the young miller had come so near that they could see him clearly. His clothes were dusted with flour, and he carried a large sack of meal over his bent back. Tied across the top of the sack was a thick quarterstaff. The young man was well-muscled and strong, and he strode along the road as easily as if his sack were filled with feathers. "Let us have a joke with this fellow," Robin said. "We will set upon him as if we were common thieves and pretend to rob him. Then we will take him into the forest and give him a feast such as he has never eaten before. What say you, fellows?" Everyone agreed Robin's idea was a good one. As the miller came opposite to where Robin and his men lay hidden, they jumped out of the bushes and surrounded him. "Stop," Robin commanded. The miller turned slowly and looked at each man in turn. "Who are you?" he asked in a voice like the growl of a great dog. "We are four good men who would help you carry your heavy load," Robin replied. "I can carry this sack myself, thank you." "You mistake my meaning," Robin said. "I mean you might have some heavy coins in your purse that we can lift from you." The miller backed up in alarm. "I tell you, I haven't so much as a penny on me. You should know you are on Robin Hood's land. If he finds you trying to rob an honest tradesman like myself, he will clip your ears and chase you all the way to Nottingham." "I fear Robin Hood no more than I fear myself," Robin declared. "Now, give me your money or I will rattle this staff about your head." "Search me if you like," the miller said bravely, "but you will find nothing in my pockets or my purse." "Then you have hidden your money at the bottom of that fat sack of meal," Robin said. "Arthur, dump the meal upon the road and see what you find." "No," cried the miller, "don't spoil my good meal. I will give up the money at the bottom of the bag." Robin nudged Will Scarlet. "Didn't I say there was money hidden there? I have a wondrous nose for gold and silver, do I not?" The miller untied the top of the bag and thrust his hands deep into the meal. Robin and his men gathered around him, bending forward to see what the miller would bring forth. But while he pretended to be searching for the money, the miller gathered two great handfuls of meal. "Here it is," he cried, and flung the meal into their faces. Robin's eyes, nose, and mouth were filled with flour, and so were those of his men. They stumbled backward, blinded and choking. Then the miller snatched up his staff and began swinging it wildly. Robin and his men couldn't see to defend themselves, or even run away. Thwack! Thwack! Went the miller's staff across their backs. With each blow, great clouds of flour rose from their jackets and drifted in the breeze like smoke. "Stop!" yelled Robin Hood at last. "I am Robin Hood." "You lie," said the miller, whacking him on the ribs and sending up another cloud of flour. "Good Robin never robbed an honest man." Robin fumbled for his horn and blew three loud blasts upon it, calling for help. It happened that Will Stutely and others of the merry men were in the forest nearby, and they hurried to their friend's aid. But when they saw Robin and the other men stumbling around, covered from head to toe with white flour, they all burst out laughing. "What is wrong here, Robin?" Will Stutely asked, when he was finally able to ask. "Can't you see?" Robin shouted. "This fellow has come as near to killing me as any man in the world." Will Stutely and his men rushed forward and held the miller fast. Robin rubbed the flour out of his eyes and went to stand before his captive, who was now trembling with fear. He glared at the miller angrily, but his temper soon softened. In fact, the situation was so ridiculous that Robin began to roar with laughter, and so did all his men. "What is your name, good fellow?" Robin asked, when he could speak at last.
"Midge the Miller,"
came the nervous reply. "You are the mightiest Midge I have ever seen," Robin said, clapping the miller on the shoulder. "I did not really mean to rob you this day, only to play a trick on you, then invite you to a great feast in Sherwood. Now I think the joke was on me. Here comes Wishbone again." A midge is a tiny insect. Robin is making a pun, saying that this midge is not tiny at all, but a very powerful man. Which, I don't think I knew that, so thank you, Wishbone. Midge laughed in relief and finally relaxed. "Will you leave your dusty mill and join my band?" Robin asked. "You are too brave a man to spend your days grinding flour. If you can forgive me for the blows I struck when I did not know who you were, then yes, I will join you," Midge replied. "I have heard many stories about Robin Hood and his generosity and bravery. In fact," Midge added, looking slightly embarrassed, "I have often thought of joining you and your band." "I forgive you indeed, and I'm proud to have you as a friend," Robin said. "Now, let us all go back to Sherwood and have a great feast to welcome our new members. I am bruised and sore, but I am well enough to celebrate." So saying, Robin led the way into the forest. His men followed him until all were lost from sight. And so my conflict with this, and you see glimmers of it leading up to this point, but Robin initiates a conflict with an honest man, the type of people he's out there to protect, and he disrupts them for the sake of his own amusement. I mean, this miller was genuinely under the impression that he was being robbed, and he's sullying his meal that he's going to sell at market just to defend his life. Robin gets angry about that. He and his four men can't wrangle this guy, and so he blows his horn 3 times, which is the bat signal for all of the merry men to drop what they're doing and flood to the horn, because that means Robin Hood's in trouble. So it's multiple against one. I get it, he's all hyped up with this adrenaline, but if anyone should be pissed, shouldn't it be the miller? And in fact, the miller apologized and asked for forgiveness to Robin Hood. Hold up. Robin Hood didn't even apologize. He just said, hey, you're a damn good fighter. Why don't you join my band of merry men? Also, let's have a feast. I just wish Robin Hood had met him halfway in that apology. But that's Robin Hood's character, and that is, for a lot of people, his charm. People like that. I still think Ivanhoe's better. I think his charm is in his discipline. There was a lot of hot guy highway robber discourse in this, though. I really like how Robin Hood confronted him, and the miller was standing up for himself. I'll just share my snippet where I'm like, that's good. Stop, commanded Robin. The miller turned around and he's growling like a dog. Who are you? Valid question. And Robin Hood says, we're 4 good men who want to help you carry your heavy load, and this is my particular favorite. I can carry this sack myself, thank you, says the miller. I think I'll add that into my daily repertoire. I will carry this sack myself. And so then Robin's like, no, you mistake my meaning. What I'm saying is, how about we lift some coin from your purse? Help you with that load. And so that's when the miller's like, joke's on you, I haven't a penny on me. In comes the speculation. Robin says, I know a thing or two about a thing or two. It's in the bottom of that sack. Well, he's just setting the miller up for this trap, and the miller takes advantage of it. I think it's very clever of him to take both hands and fling it in these guys' faces. Very resourceful, super hot. Really like the miller in this. In fact, he's my favorite one in this whole scenario. Not only is he crafty, he's damn good with a quarterstaff. He's taken on 4 people, didn't ask anyone for help, and he has the humility to ask for forgiveness. Maybe he should be Ivanhoe's squire in lieu of Robin Hood's merry man. If I was reading the classic version of Robin Hood, maybe I would be getting more details and scenes where I'm able to empathize more and understand more of why Robin Hood is the way he is. He's kind of reliving his boyhood fun days, making the most of the bed he has to lie in. He had a hard pill to swallow in killing that knight. It was sort of a lose-lose for him. If he allowed this knight to take Maid Marian into the forest and force her to become his wife, he's lost Maid Marian, who is his sweetheart, and they had plans to become married. But in becoming an outlaw and his lordly title stripped from his name, despite Maid Marian expressing to him several times that she is more than willing to become an outlaw with him if that entails being with him, Robin Hood's like, no, Maid Marian, I would never want that life for you. You deserve to be pampered. Marry a man who is worthy and can give you that. So he's pretty much giving up the love of his life. Maid Marian assages him, saying, you are the love of my life. I would never do that. I'm saving myself for you. If I can't have you, I'll have no one. Oh boy, here's this tragic love story. But that's the appeal. These two people that love one another, but their sense of morality is in the way. You know, Robin Hood loves Maid Marian, but he's not willing to lower her standards. Meanwhile, she's more than willing to lower her standards and live in the forest like a thief. Maybe there's more resolution or explanation to that in the classic version. And this is just me poking in dark corners, you know, trying to figure out Robin Hood's psychology, why he is the way he is, but I feel like these are scenarios where Robin Hood is alleviating that heavy thing. Maybe he's distracting himself with doing good, making sure that people aren't suffering the same fate that he did, and if they are, Robin Hood's trying to make their life easy. I guess you have to find positivity somewhere, but at the expense of someone else, I'm not so sure. I mean, in this case, it turns out fine because the miller's like, yeah, I'll join you guys. Even though I'm thinking, shouldn't the miller question whether or not he wants to follow this man whose moral compass might have been a little skewed? I would hate to have been made a fool of and had someone stage a robbery and then say, it's just a joke, it's just a joke. Hey, by the way, you want to join us? It just seems like a red flag to me. Anyway, I know I talked about doing a Wishbone book club, and maybe I will. eventually. We still have to do our book club on Graceling, which I haven't even read that book yet. Long ago, if you remember us saying that and you bought the book or have read the book and you're waiting for that episode, it will come. I don't like promising things and not following through, so it will happen. After reading The 12th Planet, I will be excited to get back into my fantasy books.